Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the second episode of Husker Heat. I'm joined again by Miley Ketterson, and this week joining for the first time, but definitely not the last, is Jaden Miller. Welcome, Jaden. Say hi to everybody.
Howdy. Howdy.
Brief as always. So we got, as always, got a lot to talk about this week. But before we jumped into softball, just being a good and faithful Husker fan, I thought we'd throw some congratulations around in other sports. Start with Husker hoops. First of all, to the men for taking care of business against Michigan. They secured the first double bye, meaning they finished in the top four of the conference for the first time since joining the Big Ten. And I think they said this is their highest conference finish since 1992-93, which really was the last era of consistently damn good Husker basketball teams. Looking forward to seeing how they do in the tournament, seeing whether they get seeded. And then also congratulations to the women. They lost a tight one to Iowa. Miley's already, but God, you're both just making those faces like you want to flipping kill somebody. I mean, it just being up eight that late and not winning made it even harder to take. I'll take away two things from it. And then you guys can chime in. Number one, they proved that what happened in Lincoln wasn't a fluke. They were sitting there beating the other teams by like 30, and they had to scrap and claw to win. And then the other thing is we're just, geez, what about a month away from Caitlin Clark going to the WNBA and Iowa basketball, women's basketball, fading back to flipping irrelevance and good riddance. State
volleyball team.
Yeah. So what are your guys' thoughts on, and if you want to bring in their lovely coach, Bluder, Frau Bluder, then you may do that as well. Dive in, have at it.
I mean, everyone on Iowa is just like shoving it in our faces that they won. It's like, you're supposed to win. You're like number two in the nation.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the game was not supposed to be that close. So.
No, and I think they definitely came in thinking that, oh, like that, what you said, like back in Lincoln was definitely a fluke. And I was just like, this game is not going to be easy for them. Like, I think we're one of the toughest teams that they've definitely had to play this year. So, I was sitting on the couch, just, I was like, we're up eight, 2 minutes to go. But I wasn't like confident. Like, I was, but I was just like, it doesn't, like, they can go down and hit two threes like that, and it's a 2-point game. So I definitely wanted to get another bucket in there and stuff, but
we got a couple of good flop one dive and yell at the refs out of it. One thing about this Iowa-Nebraska rivalry is it's the pettiness is just something I'm embracing. So let me throw this out there. I just really wanted to win because I wanted another Bluder freak out. You know, that the Big Ten protocols, this is bullshit. We have a plane to catch. Every game they lost this year, she had some sort of freak out.
Something to say.
She's just gotten too used to winning and riding Caitlin's coattails. And I think next year she might need, a therapy. She might get locked up in a mental institution because they're going to lose so much that I think she may just explode. Anyway, we could do this all night. Before we get to softball, a couple other quick shout outs. Congratulations to Fred Hoiberg, who 2 years ago, his head was on everybody's chopping block. He gets rid of some coaches, rebuilds the team his way and wins 16 games last year. And then 22 and counting this year, let's hope. And what's funny is his first three years, he only won 24. So he might win more this year than he won his first three. And I also wanted to give a shout out to the wrestling team. They had a very, very successful Big Ten tournament, finishing third behind Penn State and Michigan. And I believe sending nine wrestlers to nationals, a huge number. And Ridge Lovett claimed a title. And of all the other wrestlers, guess who made it? This is the reason we invent AI, because whoever threw in, Nash Hunt Mocker, wrestler, polar bear, that thing's saved in my photos forever. But anyway, onward we go. Hey, Right. I don't know if either of you guys had a chance to catch up or watch. We had a couple of games today. I watched most of both of them. The first one was just the classic example of a game where just nothing will go right for you.
Yep.
They left 10 runners on base in the first five innings. They left the bases loaded twice. They were getting the runners, and they just couldn't get anybody across the plate. What Northern Colorado did was they just kept chipping away, hit here, hit there. Our control is better. I believe we maybe had one walk, if any, in that first game, but hit three batters. And what last week we talked about the hit batsman rule, where people in baseball, when they watch, are like, well, that doesn't count. She didn't even move. That in,
right.
As of like 2 years ago, you can't move in right. college softball, and you can, you're not supposed to lean into it, but they let that go. But right. yeah, anyway, they hit about three of them. So that was kind of a disappointing. Caitlin Alinsky, actually, she got nicked around a little bit, but she came in with the bases loaded, gave up a hit, or got an out, gave up a hit, and still one out, bases loaded. And, you know, a hit could really blow the game open for Northern Colorado, and she gets back-to-back strikeouts to get out right. of it. So that was nice to see. The second game, I'm just going to make it kind of quick.
Because, it's a fun game, that's for sure.
when I looked up their schedule, I was like, this one's going to be tough. I believe now they are 1-17. The schedule they're playing is not strong. It's a fairly small school schedule, and they're getting knocked around. The Huskers did what they had to do. They went out, took care of business, and played pretty mistake-free ball. I believe they had one error, no hit batsman, no wild pitches, no walks. Sarah Harness, you know, not facing, you know, 1927 Yankees or anything, but she did what she had to do, and she didn't help them out at all. So that was a good thing to see.
Do we know why these two games were added this week? Because they weren't originally until like late last week.
I do not. All I had were my suspicions. One was that it looked for a while there that they might only play two games in Arkansas.
Yeah.
The original Friday forecast was worse than the Thursday forecast. So I don't know if they threw those in there just to do it. I'm not sure what brought Maine here. I have a feeling they were on their way somewhere else and just got asked, hey, you want to sneak in one more game? You know, leave a couple days early. And Northern Colorado, that's the interesting one. They were in Omaha starting off last Friday, Saturday, the 9th. I believe they had to be in town the 9th, played in a UNO tournament over the weekend, and then they're playing in the Big Red Spring Classic this weekend. So they probably just said, you got a few days to kill. I bet it came together with us in Northern Colorado, said, hey, let's get another game in since we're both going to be here and have nothing to do, and then just figured out who else could fit in. So like I said, I have a feeling Maine was on their way to somewhere probably
Is it like football? Like, you know, they pay like the beginning teams that we play.
I don't know if there's that much money to pay out.
Yeah, I guess softball is like nothing like football money, but
yeah, they're not going to get, I'm sure they got a little something, but it's probably nowhere like the 900,000 or anything like that.
But that's
funny. It's because here's Northern Colorado is just in the middle of a school semester, spending about 10 days in Omaha and Lincoln, Nebraska. So,
Nebraska volleyball's been in Hawaii for 2 weeks.
That's rough for them, huh?
I would love that. I mean, they're on spring break this week, but still, all last week they were in Ellis in Louisiana, and then they were back for a day, and then went straight to Hawaii. It's like that'd be so nice,
right? Hey, I'm going to pop a couple of comments here. The first one is from Linda Wilkins. She's a regular with John and Todd on Monday nights. She says, good evening to us all. Yeah, no, I know I said it. I didn't say when, though, so. Sorry, Linda. We'll get on that. And then she was like, yeah, okay, here we go. Where was Nebraska playing when Jordy got hurt? They were down in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. It was something, the Puerto Vallarta Classic. It's been there for years, and she was just on the mound and caught that leg straight. I was watching it when it happened, and I thought hyperextension, but I was like, but that's how the ACL blows up. So hoping for the best, didn't, and got the worst. And I believe somebody answered that below. And then let's see, did I see any of the congressional roundtable? Oh God. I did not. I'm aware it's there. I had like two games work, two recaps to do work in the podcast today. So I'm saving an eruption for that for another night. Maybe I can
get is with Senator Cruz as in Ted Cruz.
Yep. That's the one.
I don't know.
I don't know what they think Congress is going to do about NIL. They've already lost the court case. That's my theory. It's like, is Congress really going to come in and try to tell people what they can do about making money on their own time with their own face? I don't know. I'll have more.
That's not really a big thing that they need to be paying attention to right now in the country, but.
Right. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. Keep the comments coming. They are on this week. It fixed whatever glitch was going on last week. And let's see. Let's talk about the Razorback Rumble a little. We'll get the North Iowa guy in a minute. anyway, Razorback Rumble. We start off with North Iowa. They'd had a couple of good games. They had beaten Auburn. I don't believe Auburn's ranked anymore, but they were when they played them. And I believe they lost a close game to Alabama, who is like number 13 or 14 now. And I was wondering if we'd have a little more trouble with them, but no, we just beat the brakes off them. Did either of you guys have a chance to listen to that? Or
I listened a little bit, but we were kind of busy that day. So, yeah, I didn't catch too much of it.
Yeah. I usually just watch live stats.
Yeah, and that was one that got unexciting. But you know, it's nice to take care of business. And then what I thought was going to be the weakest team of the weekend, St. Francis.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's the one I did listen to. So
now what's the coolest thing about St. Francis though?
Oh, the Red Flash.
That's a cool nickname.
I love that nickname.
Now the thing is, I just hope they don't have like some, you know, little guy in the band like running around in a Flash costume, you know, like
for tights.
I mean, I don't even know if you want to have a mascot with, if it's the Red Flash, maybe just have some sort of like stuff going on the scoreboard where the Red Flash just comes and wrecks shit every now and then. But yeah, so first game cruising. Red Flash had a good pitcher. I knew that their pitcher was going to be tough. And I thought we'd get to her, and I think I put in the recap that's how it played out. They hold us scoreless for three. Olenski matches them, holds them scoreless for four innings. We nicker up for a couple runs in the bottom of the fourth, and I figure that's about it. We'll cruise 2-0, 3-0, because I wasn't impressed with their lineup. Oh, 2-2. Oh, okay, we got it back. We're fine. And then they blow up for what, four in the top of the seventh, and then you know. Cheers to the girls. Didn't get it. You know, it would be really easy just to kind of get the shockwave of here comes the upset. No, came back and geez, I don't know if they hardly got an out that inning. They just came out there, whap whap whap, put it away. And then Miley, you listen to the next game.
Yeah.
What? What did you think?
I mean, we were up. I think going into the sixth or some sixth inning, fifth inning, something like that. But then they come back. And then they take us to extra innings, and then they score, what was it? I think five runs in the extra innings.
Or five, something like that in the top of the eighth.
It was 3-3 going into the extra innings. And you start with a runner on second, and then the final, I think, was it 8-3? I can't remember.
Was that bad? I thought it was
– maybe it was 6-3.
You know what? I think I actually brought along some stuff so I wouldn't get stuck too much. So what was the score? I got it right here. By God. St. Francis, 6-3.
6-3. Okay, so they scored three runs in that eighth inning, and then we did absolutely nothing.
Yeah, we just went boom. And then, but here, the one that impressed me was, I'll be honest, after just, you know, doing a quick scout of all three teams, South Alabama was the one I was worried about. I think they had beaten Alabama. I think they played Alabama twice.
Don't say South Alabama was the good team again. You might get some people mad.
Well, tell you what, let's talk about who I made mad. Enough Razorback Rumble. So we do our first podcast, And apparently one of our viewers, and you know, bless you if you're watching, thanks for the viewership. I made a comment where I just kind of dusted out of their schedules a little. I did see that they had beaten Auburn, but the rest of the schools didn't seem too impressive to me. So I just made the comment, you know, hey, Northern Iowa's got such and such a record, but it doesn't look like they've really played anybody yet. Homeboy laid a bubble the size of the size of my phone screen on me. Oh, it's like, bye, we beat Auburn. Then like, geez, it's like, so I, you know, I take another look and it's kind of what I thought the first time. I would, you know, it wasn't really that great. I did in the preview, you know, the olive branch. I didn't know he'd made the comment at the time, but apparently I'd thrown an olive branch out saying, hey, you might watch out for this team because of those games. But yeah, it's like, so, you know, it really bothers me when, you know, people get upset because of something I said. I'd just like to, you know, say I'm sorry. I, you know, said bad things about your team. Now, to be fair, that they, I did look up their RPI and their strength of schedule is about 65th or 70th in the country. Now there's a lot of softball teams, so it's not that bad, but I just feel horrible. And
it's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You get nothing. Lose. Good day, sir.
Okay, so that being said, I think we can go ahead and move on. So we've got the upcoming tournament here. We can make Creighton fans mad. That's okay.
Thank God.
I believe the Big Red Spring Classic coming up this weekend. Am I naming it right? Heck, I don't know. I hope so. And we will be playing. It says here. Let's see. We got a rematch with Northern Colorado right out of the gate on Thursday at 3 p.m. Oh no, that's the first game. 5:30. Both games 5:30. Northern Colorado on Thursday. North Dakota.
Big Red Spring Classic.
Big Red Spring Classic. North Dakota at 5:30 on Friday. And then Creighton at 4:30 on Saturday. And I believe that's a Beat Creighton button give out day.
It is. So
if you want a free Beat Creighton button, and you know, and if you've got Sharpies, I'm sure you can amend them to have them say whatever you'd like. As always, keep it clean. I would never, ever suggest to write foul things about Creighton on a free button that's, you know, just meant to excite the crowd a little. So
you would never.
Don't do that. And then the last game will be another Northern Colorado matchup at 11 a.m.
That's Dollar Day, too.
Yeah, what's that?
That's Dollar Day.
Oh, like dollar admission or dollar hot dogs?
I'm going to guess dollar admission, but I wish they sold beer because then it'd be dollar beer.
Then it would be game not finished crap being thrown on the field.
The dollar beer type people.
Well, they had, oh God, what was it? There was a baseball game. All I remember is it was the White Sox and maybe the Rangers, but they decided to have a 10-cent beer night at, I believe it was Crossley Field back then, but wherever the White Sox home field was. And a guy who followed the Rangers that year, and really funny, was telling the story about him going to the game on the subway. And here were fans that looked like they'd already been doing dime beer night for most of the day. So here's dime beer night coming up, and people are showing up at the stadium wrecked. And those don't include the ones who are getting stoned on top of it. So I think at one point they started throwing stuff on the field. The fans stormed the field. Policemen and horseback were out on the field trying to contain just what couldn't be contained, which was a drunken just mob of people who'd been drinking as many 10-cent beers as they could in 1975, maybe. And the Major League Baseball, the very next day, passed a new rule, no discount beer nights again, ever, anywhere.
I mean, imagine Dollar Beer Day with the porta potties that they give the women's team.
Oh, God.
People go to the bathroom.
Oh,
it'll just be long ass lines.
So anyway, that's the story of why Dollar Beer Day is probably not happening, even if beer were being served. But there's our games. I've got to believe that Creighton's probably the one that everybody will get wired for. It's Nebraska Creighton, and that I still feel like the Nebraska Creighton relationship is mostly in good fun. You know, the Nebraska and Creighton fans needle each other. The ones that are Creighton basketball and Nebraska football get called Jayskers. But I get the feeling like What's that?
Who are the Jayskers supposed to cheer for then? Like,
well, the Creighton. Oh yeah, that.
Because it's probably, not football or basketball.
Well, since they got, well, here's the thing. Probably for Creighton, since they, if they're Creighton fans, they cheer for Nebraska football because they don't have an alternative.
Oh, true.
So I assume they're Creighton and everything else. But so look, Miley Jaysker.
What? No,
I'm asking if you're a Jaysker.
Oh hell no.
Jaden Jaysker?
Absolutely not. No, not a chance.
But
there's two teams that I will never be a fan of, root for at any point, is Iowa and Creighton, ever.
Oh wow. Taking Creighton hate to a nasty level. That's all right. I mean, our coordination.
Would you ever cheer for Creighton, Dad?
What's that?
Would you ever cheer for Creighton?
Oh, I can think of a lot of instances I'd cheer for Creighton. There's a lot of, I mean,
like what?
I don't really have a lot of hatred for Creighton. I don't want to say anything about their fans and be accosted. But yeah, usually if Creighton annoys you, it's more of their fans annoying me than Creighton annoying me. When we moved here, when I was a kid, I liked cheering for Creighton. I thought it was kind of fun to have like two college basketball teams around. But no, Creighton against North Carolina, Iowa, Miami, Colorado, Kansas State, Wisconsin.
See, when Creighton played Iowa, what was that, last year, I think? I had no clue who to even like root for in that.
That's go Jays in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, let's
play the middle on that one.
Here's one, not really a question, but from Tiger Shark Diver. I just now I'm hearing the music in my head. Coronation, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? All right, it was just me then.
Yeah, no.
Rat.
Nope.
All right, I'm gonna sing something louder next week if that's how we're gonna be. Let's see. So,
my last name on here.
Hey, but by the way, hey, when we were at the one softball game, their first weekend. Yep, here, who's out there watching? Dylan Rayola and a couple. I'm assuming the fellow recruits. So I like Dylan. He seems like during recruiting, then even after being on campus, he really seems to enjoy making the rounds and cheering, you know, for the other teams. And if I'm honest, you know, I would say Trev. I would think Matt Rule's a big part of it. I'm sure John Cook is. I know Rhonda Revelle is the softball coach, if you guys don't know who she is. They are really big, and it seems pretty genuine about the way the athletes go and just watch each other whenever they get the chance. But I thought one of my favorite stories was here's the football team, of course, watching when Nash Schottmacher made his debut against Wyoming. But then I heard somebody told me who was there said, right before the match starts, here came the women's track team, like running in out of breath, like they'd been trying to get there for Nash's match. And they literally knew they were just going to be there. You know, they go lightest to heaviest weight. So they knew they're busting their butt to get there for one match and they're done. But I just think that's really cool how they're out there supporting each other. There's no joke to make there. It's a fun thing to see. It's a fun thing to watch them get behind each other. When I was at Stillwater 2 years ago and we're doing the press conference after the game, I asked Coach Revelle, I said, this team just seemed to have something magic about it all year. You know, is there, you feel bad for the football team when, you know, there's some, don't you wish there was just some way you could, you know, get that over to them? And, you know, I didn't really say like, you know, oh, the football team sucks or anything, but she came to their defense and she's like, well, here's the thing. We don't think about any of us being better than anybody else. We have each other's backs. And I was like, nice. So I was getting a taste of that, you know, a couple years ago. But what do you guys think of that? I've rambled on.
Yeah, I know that a lot of the women's basketball team likes to, they kind of catch softball games and baseball games every once in a while when they can. So, like, that's really cool. Like, I just like, yeah, like you said, like, they all kind of just have a camaraderie and, you know, supporting everyone. That's, you don't see that in, like, a lot of programs. So I think it's cool.
Yeah, I know volleyball supports women's basketball a lot. They're really good friends, too. I think some of them room together as well, like when they're freshmen. So, and then I know volleyball goes to a lot of football games as well.
Yeah, it's just really nifty to see. All right, let's see. I want to take a minute because, you know, Billy Andrews, who already had plenty of accolades coming into this season, is – seems to be taking it to another level. I believe her average, dropped today to about 444. but she hit her 50th home run last weekend, and that made her only the third Husker to hit 50 home runs in a career. And who is it? Ali Viola has 53, and gosh, I'd have to look. I don't have that right in front of me. Well, I might be able to get it in a minute, but Taylor Edwards, something like that. Dang it. There it is. And he didn't say who the two were. But they are at 53 and 54. Billy hit two more today and now she's at 52. And I said, hey, five homers, Billy's likely going to take the career lead in the coming weeks. It's like the way she's going, she might take the career lead this weekend. She is.
Yep.
She is one behind Viola. She is two from the top, and three will put her on top. So it looks like right now, not only is she going to break the career home run record, she's going to shatter it. And then another thing that she quietly had going is with a hit in both the games today, she now has a 19-game hitting streak going. So sometimes people ask me, well, somebody with that kind of power, why are they leading off now? And I have to go money ball on them. It's like, hey, you don't put your little quick guy at the top anymore. You just put your best hitter at leadoff flat out because you want them to swing the bat as often as possible. And that's basically what's going on. It's not like she doesn't steal bases. I believe she stole like three or four bases last weekend as well. And it's tough for her to get steals because at this point of the year, I believe she's got more home runs and doubles than she has singles. So that takes away a lot of your base stealing chances right there.
Hey, she's not scared to steal third either, though. She's done that a couple times.
But yeah, it's kind of funny. To me, it's like the last two and a half years seasons have gone so quickly because I feel like I was just in East Lansing, taking my first shot at watching this Husker softball thing a couple years ago when she was a sophomore. She's a sophomore and she's got all the time in the world in front of her. Oh, now you're almost halfway through your senior year. Don't go away, Billy. it feels like you just got here. I always thought one of the neat stories was Brooke Andrews, her sister, is a year older. And as I understand it, she actually requested to redshirt her freshman year, sit out that first year so they could play all 4 years together. And
I honestly thought they were twins.
Me too.
Yeah, right? So they're both seniors. So.
Well, and Brooke Andrews, well, like her bat's coming alive now too. She's kind of settled into the two spot for now behind Billy in the order. But my God, in the field, she's diving, making diving catches. She's taking home runs from over the top of the fence. She's gunning people at the plate. And so, if we had women's softball ESPN, Billy would be getting the occasional homer, but it'd be like Brooke and number one yet again with another amazing grab. Here's Brooke Andrews diving for this and diving for that. So, anybody worried, does she worry about playing in Billy's shadow a little? It's like, well, I'm telling you what, she doesn't play like she's worried about it. She's all out. But have you guys had a chance to check any of those grabs out?
Yeah, I was at one of my friends and I went to like a couple of the Missouri and I think it was Wichita State games. Granted, the games didn't go how we wanted, but yeah, she was like those two, I think, was it two home runs she stole or one, but one was close to going over.
She stole a deep one and then had the one where she jumped up. And
like, those are crazy. And like, that's just a testament. Like, like her bat, like you said, is coming alive, but like her fielding has been like probably a step up from where it was like last year and stuff. So yeah, they've been pretty cool.
Let me steer this and ask you guys what you think on this too, is the bats never really got go. I had no worry the bats were going to get going against Maine. The team ERA is like 10.49 going into that game. So it was like, I knew we were going to hit them, but it seemed like the bats never really got going when they needed to against, God, who was it? They played the first game again.
Northern Iowa Colorado.
Northern Colorado.
Oh,
I'm just wondering, it's become a thing where we don't really have, at least no one's taken the mantle yet. There's been flashes, but we really don't have that starter we can roll out. Not even Jordy Ball level. I'm even talking like we don't, Courtney Wallace or Liv Farrell. We really don't have that starter that can go in there and shut things down. And I think we knew early on that for them to have some success, go back to the NCAA tournament this year, it's going to be on the bats. And I'm just wondering if they're starting to feel the pressure, that responsibility a little impressed. You know, it's not their fault. They didn't ask for it. It's just, it's what happens when an injury like that happens. Everybody has to grow up a little quicker, take on roles they didn't really expect to take on. What are your guys' thoughts on that? And it doesn't even necessarily have to be from a batting standpoint, just an athlete standpoint.
I mean, they just need to learn and adapt, basically. Since they don't have that, they need to learn what they need to do now to be able to get themselves in a position to get back to the tournament. So,
yeah, I think even just from a pitching standpoint, like, I mean, you have Kaylin Kinney, who seems like she's maybe struggling with some, like, control in some areas. And then you have two freshmen and Sarah Harness, who was obviously here last year. But I think you go from being so excited that Jordy Ball's here, that gives you an extra, some cushion, to like, now she's gone. And now you have to kind of figure out, like, okay, like, she's not just going to go in there for us and get us however many strikeouts now. Like, and you have to rely on your defense too, which I've also seen they've had a little couple mistakes and stuff. So I think some wind got knocked out of some sails. And like you said, time to kind of grow up and adapt to having a loss like that, and just be like, no, you guys can do it, and just kind of play your ball like you did last year. So,
yeah, I don't think a lot of those freshman pitchers were expecting to play as much as they were or have this year since Jordy Ball got hurt. So definitely a little bit of shell shock for them, maybe.
For sure.
Yep. All right. Good comments. Now, there's one thing. I've been joking about this since the just not, you know, on a pod or anything. But when I saw the roster, I'd been joking about how there was a little prevalence of the same kind of name. And Miley, you wrote about that in one of your recaps, and it just cracked me up. Introduce us to all of our Caitlins.
All right. Well, we have Caitlin Neal, Caitlin Olinsky, and Caitlin Kaneda, but we also have Kaylin Kinney. It's like, good Lord. And they all have different spellings too.
Yes.
You can't even like spell it the same way. Like when we're writing, it's like, okay, how do I spell this one? It's yeah. There's a lot of them.
Yeah. I did. It's like, which one got stuck with the Caitlin Clark? I don't believe we have a Caitlin Clark spell.
Thankfully, we don't have a Caitlin Clark spelling.
No, because, you know, we don't want anything to do with that.
What the hell?
Caitlin Clark in Iowa came up, so just...
How does Caitlin Clark spell her name again? I know I probably shouldn't forget this, because it's every goddamn...
Yeah, that's why.
C-A-I-T-L-I-N, I'm pretty sure is how it is.
Oh, Caitlin Olinsky has the same spelling.
I was going to say, I think she did, yeah.
Whoa, we need to get rid
of her. Well, Caitlin Olinsky, if you're watching, you're the good Caitlin. Okay, not the bad Caitlin. That Caitlin?
Yep.
Let's see. I didn't know if I had anything else. Oh, here we go. I always said I was going to try every one of these we could to throw in something that's a rule or weird or different that makes women's softball, just like fast pitch softball, different than baseball. I guess you don't necessarily have to chop that to men and women.
Size of the ball.
Anyway. God, I was so close. You know, I want to get in under 40 minutes. We're just a few minutes away. Okay. Welcome. As I was saying, yeah, you're welcome. Anyhow, one thing I noticed when I went up to Lansing is like the press box was just right up there looking down. So you had a really good view just on top of home plate. And I just remember thinking like, wow, these umpires, not just this umpire, these umpires have a pretty wide strike zone. And Matt Smith, who's one of the like associate or assistant media people at Lincoln, was there, and it was really nice to be able to bounce some things off him. But I just was kind of making the comment, man, these guys' strike zones are wide. And he goes, yeah, but you got to remember this: just any part of that ball has to clip the plate, and it's a strike. It's not like the entire ball has to be inside the plate, and that's true with baseball, is that you just need to clip any part of it. Well, here's a baseball and here's a softball. So you get that softball barely clipping the outside of the plate, and it's halfway to the batter's box. And the time it was really fun that that I really noticed it was going on was because we were playing Michigan for the championship, and you talk about a lot of sunburnt Karens that want that are really expecting to get everything their way. That Michigan crowd was something else. They had some fun ones too. They had one guy in like a wrestling mask, like a Mexican wrestling mask, and then we were having the argument, should you take that off for the national anthem, etc. But everything that wasn't just right down the middle, it was, you know, you could almost hear them demanding the manager, you know, had or saying, how dare you, or, you know, are you sure about that? And, you know, just all just this hit, you know, just practically hissing at the umpire. And but that, you know, that's when it was good. Yeah, but Matt told me it's like that's the thing. It's like you'll see the same thing. It's Nebraska. Nebraska just basically had friends and family up there, and Michigan filled that little stadium. And so, yeah, it's like, so if you see some balls, you know, it looks like, hey, the catcher's reaching off that plate a little bit. It's, wow, that's a strike. That probably is. And I found that pretty interesting. I don't know if you'd ever, guys had ever been watching him going, boy, that looked a little outside. Or not.
Not yet.
Yeah, get that view from behind home plate at some time. And that, because that's, that was the first, you know, softball tournament I'd ever been to, or fast pitch softball tournament I'd been to. And just getting, watching that square behind the plate for like 3 days was kind of eye opening. And then, yeah, by that third day, I'm like, no, that clipped it. And what, you know, I want the umpire's manager. The managers are managing the teams, ma'am. Don't you talk to me that way. Why are you filming me? No, I've watched too many TikTok Karen videos.
Yes, well, you do.
Let's see if anybody else chimed in. They didn't. Well, let me tell you what, since we had our first comments night, let me think. Well,
this guy said his grandpa only watches beach volleyball, Tiger Shark Diver.
Yeah. And, I think I saw that. And since you picked it out,
and why would be beach volleyball? Because Nebraska's not too great at beach volleyball.
Well, he didn't say Nebraska.
Oh, okay. He just meant beach volleyball in general. Okay.
Yeah. And he won't tell me why. And I think, well, I think Tiger Shark Diver knows why and is making it funny there.
Yeah.
That's like, we'll tell you why. All right. For all perverted. No. Okay. I just want to thank everybody who commented in tonight. Our own Minnie was in tonight. Thanks, Minnie. Linda Wilkins, always a pleasure when Linda tunes in. I feel honored she tuned in to watch our show. Thank you very much. Justin Rogge with the Go Big Red, Highlander Gun at 808 to let us know he was late. Let's see. And then we had Tiger Shark Diver and his grandpa. And that was it. So hopefully we're going to wrap it up here. Please come back. Unless something odd happens, we should be here every Tuesday at 8 p.m. through as far as they take us. And keep a note, we're at the beginning of a big Nebraska homestand right now, starting with today, two games today, four games this weekend. And then next weekend they play UNO or Omaha. I still can't get used to that. It's like,
yeah,
I guess you got branding reasons, but they're always going to be UNO to me. They're just at hockey games chanting UNO. Yeah. But anyway, they play UNO in a Tuesday night game, and then they have the Big Ten season starts the next weekend. They'll have three games against the Fighting Illini of Illinois, and we'll be off and running into Big Ten season, and that's where it starts getting important for playing for seeding in the Big Ten tournament, which is in Iowa City this year.
God.
And if they can get I'm telling you right now, I don't even care if it's in Stillwater again. If they make it to a regional, I'm going this year. I paid the price. Miley knows I've said it. I've paid the price for skipping out last year and missing that incredible Wichita State extra innings elimination game. Won't happen again. Before the season started, I would have thought we'd be a pretty good bet to host a regional. Now it's like, let's just get into a regional. I'll hop in the car and we'll watch it, and we'll watch it as far as it takes us. Any last words, guys?
Hopefully we can win some home games.
Yeah.
Now I guess I should bring up that, you know, we got to change our ways at home. Well, we finally won one. After the first one today, that made us 0-5 at home. Thank you for bringing in the 1-15 Maine Black Bears to get us off the schneid there. And we're now one. We're now 1-6 and ready to start whooping ass. All right. Miley, any final words?
Go Big Red.
Go Big Red. All right. Thanks, Miley. Thanks, Jaden. Glad to have you aboard tonight. Thanks everybody who was watching. Let's keep growing this if we can. And, if it helps, we'll insult Iowa every week.
Hell yeah.
Okay. There you have
and
it.
Caitlin Clark.
What's that?
And oh, Caitlin Clark. I hope she loses in the first round. How about that?
No. I was about to play the Willy Wonka again, but no more Caitlin. All right. Good night, everybody. Thanks for watching, and we will see you next week. Hey, keep an eye out for our weekend preview, which will either come today or tomorrow. And usually I'm just trying to get that out a day or so, or the day of the weekend starting, and then we will have recaps up after every game as quickly as we can get them up. So don't wait for the World Herald to come around. Jump into Coronation and get your softball info quicker than anywhere else. All right. Thank you very much, guys, and good night, everybody.